Four times in this brief passage from St. John's Gospel this morning, our Lord speaks about bearing fruit. And he caps it off by saying, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." We even prayed for this in the collect, the opening collect for this Mass, when we said that those you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit. Apparently, it's quite important to the Lord that we bear fruit. So perhaps the question we should begin with is, what is the fruit that the Lord Jesus desires us to bear as his disciples? I think we can look in a particular way to Mary, our Blessed Mother, who is the model disciple, to learn the answer to that question. May is the month of particular devotion to our Blessed Mother, and so we look to her in a special way in these May days. The most familiar prayer to all of us, of course, to Our Lady is the Hail Mary, which makes reference to the fruit that Mary bore. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. My friends, in the end, this is the fruit that we are all called to bear, Christ himself. Now, of course, no one other than Our Lady is going to bear that fruit in the same way that she did. She who was privileged to literally conceive Jesus in her womb and give birth to him. But all of us as disciples of Christ are ultimately called to this, to bear the fruit of Jesus himself into the world by our lives, to become, if you will, other Christs in the world. This is the fruit, ultimately, that the Lord desires to find in us. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And the fruit that we bear is his very life flowing through us into the world. A tall task, for sure. And how is it? What is the condition for bearing this fruit? Well, let's go back again to the Hail Mary. How did Our Lady bear this fruit? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Grace. You see, ultimately, the kind of fruit that God desires to find in us, his disciples, is not a fruit we can produce on our own. It's not like we have to learn the proper method and kind of bring together all of our strength and talents, and then we're going to bear this fruit on our own, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. No. It's that surrender to the Lord and allowing his grace to fill us that will lead to this fruit. Which is why the other theme that comes across several times in this gospel passage is the call, remain in me. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. It is grace from Christ that brings about this fruit in our lives. And the Lord even goes so far as to say rather bluntly, without me, you can do nothing. How do we remain in him? How do we allow his life to flow into us and through us so as to bear this fruit in the world? It's especially in and through the sacraments, because these are the sources of God's divine life, his grace in our life. Baptism, that fundamental sacrament, that moment of ultimate conversion for the whole of our life, is like being grafted onto the vine and his life now flowing in and through us. And then when that life is wounded, or the branch that we are becomes ill, or perhaps even severed from the vine, the sacrament of penance heals and restores us, restores God's life in us. Confirmation is this strengthening through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of divine life in us. And Holy Communion is that sacrament that nourishes God's life in us so it can grow and grow and grow throughout our lives. And then between those privileged encounters with our Lord and the sacraments, we're called to remain in Him through our daily relationship with Him in prayer. He doesn't say, just be with me for an hour on Sunday, but remain in me the whole week long. And if we remain in Him, then we begin little by little to bear more and more of that fruit that we see in His disciples. Look at St. Paul in the first reading today. So soon after his conversion, the apostles are even afraid of him because he's been persecuting the Christians. But then Barnabas says, no, this man has been speaking boldly the truth. And the apostles welcome him, and then we're told that there in Jerusalem, St. Paul speaks boldly the truth. It's not St. Paul, it's God's grace working through him that inspires him to speak boldly the truth. And St. John, in our second reading, exhorted us, let us love. Not merely in word and speech, not just kind of putting on a show, but no, in deed and in truth. That's what happens when we open ourselves to God's grace and His life fills us. We become other Christs, who is the very love of God incarnate, and His love flows through us into the world. Again, no one has done this more perfectly than Our Lady. So let's ask her to intercede for us, that like her, we might open ourselves to the grace of God. We might remain in His grace, and we might bear much fruit, and in doing so, give glory to our Father in heaven. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.